I've spent the day tracking giraffes and elephants in the Namibian desert. I now sit at a beautifully laid table. Somewhere along the way, though, I have angered the travel gods. They've placed me at the communal table across from Philip. Philip is European. Okay, he's French, but I don't want to disparage an entire nation. And he will not shut up. Philip tells us about his trip to Machu Picchu. I tell him I also have been to Peru.
You stayed at that little hotel, the one down the hill?
I stayed on Machu Picchu, I say.
No, there's no hotel on Machu Picchu.
Philip pantomimes a hill with a village at the bottom.
You stayed in this village, no?
I stayed at the hotel on Machu Picchu, I insist.
You have been to Uzbekistan?
Philip says as he looks at his long-suffering wife, who rolls her eyes and takes a gulp of wine. I'll bet she wishes this place had tequila.
Let go, I protested in a pathetic growl. I was swung around, nearly falling to the ground.
You know the drill, Four Eyes, he sneered. Lunch money.
He towered over me, holding out his chubby palm expectantly. He had dishwater blonde hair and dark, beady eyes. His lips appeared to be perpetually curled into a sneer. I don't know what came over me this time, but I surprised myself by spitting out the word, no. Billy didn't like that very much.
What did you just say to me, Alpo girl?
Jesus, breath reeked.
Oliver was born in the workhouse, and his mother died the same night. Not even a promised reward of £10 could produce any information as to the boy's father or the mother's name. The woman was young, frail, and delicate, a stranger to the parish.
"How comes he to have any name at all, then?"
said Mrs. Mann, who was responsible for the early bringing up of the workhouse children, to Mr. Bumble, the parish beadle. The beadle drew himself up with great pride and said,
"I invented it. We name our foundlings in alphabetical order. The last was S. Swubble, I named him. This was T. Twist, I named him. I have got names ready-made to the end of the alphabet and all the way through it again when we come to Z."
"Why, you're quite a literary character, sir," said Mrs. Mann.
County Clare, Ireland, 1610. The fireplace was crackling with its beautiful golden colours beneath the hot, steaming coals. I sat close on the rug, enjoying the warmth permeating the room. Aileen was sprawled out on the floor, her face lost in a book. Da softly snored in the chair across from us. Da had always told me that traditions of storytelling went back beyond the ages of the hills, before the world was sitting still, constant and immovable as it was now. The gods of the world beyond us share their gifts or their treachery beyond earthly understanding, us poor mortals being unable to grasp the intensity of such offerings, magical stories told of epic love and heartbreak, bravery and weakness. Dear young explorer, this is going to be a trip you will never forget. Step into the realm of quantum mechanics, where your familiar rules may not always hold, and where the seemingly impossible frequently becomes achievable. In this universe, particles can exist in multiple locations at once, felines can have a dual existence, and items can be invisibly linked over great distances. This isn't some made-up theory. It's the actual science that supports the cosmos.
Ever wonder if your cat is secretly plotting world domination or just trying to ask for more treats? While we can't completely unravel the enigma that is feline behavior, understanding cat communication can feel like gaining superpowers. Imagine transforming from an average cat owner to a whisker-whispering, tail-decoding extraordinaire. Grab your magnifying glass and deerstalker hat, metaphorically speaking, because you're about to embark on a journey into the mysterious world of cat communication.